Ezekiel chapter 2. He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even to this very day. For they are an impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Amen. Chapter 3, and reading, I guess about the 7th verse, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. How'd you like to take a church pastor like that? He told you right at the start, they're an impudent people, a rebellious bunch. Amen. And then he said, the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. Amen. That's kind of a bad start, isn't it? Amen. I mean, I guess you could say, Ezekiel, you haven't got anybody to blame but yourself, because you took that church to pastor. But it was God that sent him. And he told them they wouldn't hear him. When he went, he told them they wouldn't hear him. But he had to go anyway. Amen. Now, most of you fellas are going to have it easier than that. No matter where you go, there'll be somebody hear you. Somebody you'll be able to help. Amen. Well, Ezekiel, he didn't have much promise. They will not hearken unto thee. I mean, you can't be more definite than that, can you? Hardly. Amen. They will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Amen. Praise God. Behold, I've made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint. That's about as hard a rock as you can find. An adamant stone. Amen. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Now, I mean, there's going to be some hard looks around here in Ezekiel's pastorate. Amen. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Amen. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Amen. Yeah, glory to God. I like to preach for a little while. I'm making any excuses for my voice. I usually wait till March to have my little round with the bug. Amen. And so it's March. And once in a while I miss it. I missed it completely last year. Slick as a button. And wound up having the worst cold I ever had right in the middle of summer. Hot summertime, air-conditioned cold, you know. One of them Jim Dandies, amen. So I'm going to get it out of the way in March this year and go sailing through June, July, August, and September with flying colors, amen. I may sound a little more like Dr. DeHaan tonight than Dr. L.L., amen, but you might like this one better. I don't know. I may just decide to keep it. Praise God. You heard about the country singer that had to quit singing, didn't you? His adenoids healed up. Amen. Well, you may like this voice so much better, amen, that you'll want me to keep it. Amen. Well, praise God. I'd like to preach for a little while tonight on, don't look at me like that. Amen. Don't look at me like that. I mean, did you ever see two strong men, just their faces right up against each other, staring each other down? Huh? Two strong men. That's what God is going to have Ezekiel doing. Amen. He's going to make his face hard as theirs. And when they look hard at him because he's preaching, he's going to look harder at them. Man. Amen. What a time that's going to be. Amen. When the preacher has such a hard look that he stares down folks that looks as hard as an adamant stone. Excuse me, I have to clear out a little bit once in a while. Amen. Don't look at me like that. Amen. Used to have an old song that we sang in the hymnal. It said, my heart was distressed 'neath Jehovah's dread frown, and lo, in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. Amen. If tonight your heart is distressed 'neath Jehovah's dread frown, then praise God. God may have something better for you. All he wants you to do is to repent. All you had to do to get Ezekiel to think better of you and look better at you was to repent and get right with God. Praise God. Amen. Finney walked into a factory. Finney could look a hole through you. Amen. And as he walked into the factory, they announced the preacher was coming. And some of the ladies at their machine... began to laugh and make jokes to each other about the preacher coming. And about that time, Finney walked in. And he looked right down at them. He leered at them. He stood there and looked at them so long with those piercing black eyes. Amen. That they, one of them began to cry. And then another one began to cry. Amen. And then the whole bunch began to cry. And Finney hadn't uttered one word, and revival broke out in the sewing factory. Praise God. Amen. Because he was anointed of God. And he set his face against them. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Randy. Amen. Don't know if it'll do any good or not. Don't know if I'll even take time to drink it. I get carried away with my preaching sometimes. Amen. He said, son of man, several times in the book of Ezekiel, he said, son of man, set thy face against something. Boy, I mean when Ezekiel set his face against something, you better look out. Amen. I mean, right at the very start, he said, son of man, set thy face against the mountains of Israel. Well, looks like if Ezekiel's going to set his face against something, he'd set his face against the enemies of God first, not the mountains of Israel. Amen. In the 21st chapter, he said, son of man, set thy face against Jerusalem. Amen. I mean, let me give you my definition what it means to set thy face, to look hard upon or toward. Amen. Set thy face against. Ezekiel, set thy face against the mountains of Israel. Set thy face against Jerusalem. Amen. Jerusalem, God's favorite city. Amen. Yes. You see, God will not even favor Jerusalem until he cleans it up. God will not favor the mountains of Israel till they get rid of their idols. God will not even favor the professed church, no matter how much pride they got, no matter how much religious self-satisfaction they revel in. Amen. He'll set his face against the church that is apostate. Amen. He said, set thy face against the mountains of Israel. That's chapter 6. Amen. And let's see, verse 2 and 3. Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. Amen. And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys. Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. Amen. Mountains of Israel would know the wrath of God. Amen. Why did he start out prophesying against the mountains of Israel? Why did he prophesy against Jerusalem? The Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. Amen. Most folks don't want a pastor. Amen. It's too hard. But here, amen, they got one. Boy, he was a hard one. God said, I made you that way, Ezekiel. And it's a good thing that God makes some preachers that way. Amen. It kind of keeps things in balance. Come on. Hallelujah. It kind of keeps things in place. Amen. If all the preachers are too nice, then there are a class of people in the church that will take advantage of them and presume on both preacher and God. They didn't get away with anything with Ezekiel. Amen. Amen. No, they didn't slide anything under the cover. Amen. God told Ezekiel, I want you to go and dig through the wall. And amen, I want you to see what the elders of Israel are doing. Amen. Behind everybody's back. Amen. And then he said, dig a little farther, Ezekiel, and I'll show you greater abomination. Amen. Most folks don't want a preacher that digs too deep. As a matter of fact, amen, most preachers don't want a preacher that digs too deep. Amen. There's a lot of pastors don't want an evangelist that cast out devils. Amen. I mean, I've known of some preachers that went into a church, praise God, and started casting out devils and fell in disfavor with the pastor because the pastor felt it was an insinuation that any of his blessed young people might be possessed of devils. Amen. Well, if they are, they need them cast out. Amen. If they don't get them cast out, they'll run out. And they'll finally leave church altogether. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Yes, he said, set thy face against the mountains of Israel and toward Jerusalem. That's chapter 21 and 2. Amen. Chapter 14 and 8, he said, set thy face against man. Maybe I ought to turn over there and read it. Amen. Has God ever set his face against man? Amen. Son of man, these have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speaking to them and saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Amen. Listen, verse 7. For every one of the house of Israel are of strangers that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me. Amen. It's bad enough to miss church and come to church now and then. But the dreadful thing about quitting church is that you first got to quit God. Amen. He said, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Listen to verse 8. And I will set my face against that man. Now, this is God. This is not just Ezekiel. This is not just the preacher. This is God. You see, Ezekiel is merely an instrument. Ezekiel is merely a reflection. He is a teaching tool. He is trying to demonstrate to the people how God frowns on their sin. Amen. I will set my face against that man, and I'll make him a sign and a proverb. I'll cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
Glory to God.
There's probably nobody here tonight caught the severity of that statement. God said, I will cut him off. There's probably nobody here tonight knows how serious it is to be cut off. You probably tonight can't imagine. It just don't sink in. How awful it is to be cut off. Life is cheap today in this competitive world. Amen. Somebody dies, they rush to get what's left and fill the hole that he left. Amen. And they're secretly glad the competition has passed away. Amen. That much more for me. And nobody knows the severity of what it means to be cut off. Amen. Cut off means to be destroyed. But it also means to be separated from God. I can tell you how it feels to be cut off from God. And I want to tell you tonight that I wouldn't wish it on a dirty dog to be cut off from God. Because if there was no fire in hell to torment men, and if hell didn't last forever and burn eternally, to be cut off from God is the most awful thing that there can happen to a human being that lived on God's green earth. Amen. Death is a serious thing. A beating heart stops. A multi-million dollar fabulous eyesight discontinues. Ears no longer hear. Senses no longer operate. All five senses cease to function. Seeing hearing, tasting, smelling, feeling, all those wonderful senses of the body cease at death. Amen. That's bad enough. But folks, to be cut off from God is the most horrible, awful thing that can happen. Bad enough to die. Bad enough to perish. Bad enough to be laid in the ground. But to be cut off from God forever and ever. Never to be able to get back to God. Amen. Listen to what he said. I'll set my face against that man. Who? That man that's joined to his idols. That his heart is full of idols. Not only is he joined to his idols, but he is such a bad example that he is a stumbling block to others. Amen. The trouble with the entertainment world today, they use the most handsome of men, the most beautiful and young women to portray the lowest down characters that you ever saw. Amen. Lucy of I Love Lucy fame criticizing the show called Dallas on TV. I never watched it. Amen. I didn't know what I was saying. And they had bumper stickers on cars. Who shot JR? Amen. And I told folks, I am JR. That was my initials in school. I didn't know what I was saying. Amen. I never did see it. Amen. I don't know who JR is, what he did or didn't do. Amen. But Lucy of I Love Lucy fame said they were using beautiful people to do dirty things. Amen. What is it? What happens when beautiful people portray dirty characters? The low-down scum of the earth. I mean the lowest down people in the world. The most talented and some of the most beautiful of people portray them. What are they? Amen. That set the styles for our children and our young folks today. What are they that portray the scum of the earth and glamorize sin? I'll tell you what they are. They are a stumbling block. Amen. That's what they are. Amen. And he said, I'll cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. It's bad enough when the preacher sets his face against you. It's bad enough when it looks like every time the preacher points his finger that he's pointing right at you. But it's real bad when God does it. Amen. You remember those signs in war times, Uncle Sam pointing his finger and said, I want you. You remember? You couldn't get away from Uncle Sam's gaze. You'd get off to the side and he was still pointing his finger right at you. You'd go to the other side and he was still pointing his finger right at you. Amen. You couldn't get out from under his gaze. And that's the way it is with God. That's the way it is when the Holy Ghost is using a preacher to preach. You may not think he's using me to preach tonight. Amen. You may think I'd be talking a little better if God was using me to preach. Hey, God ain't shooting cannonballs at snowbirds. He knows what he's doing. Amen. He knows just exactly what we need tonight. He knows just exactly what you need tonight. Amen. I'd like to be a nicer preacher tonight. I'd like to preach you a nicer message tonight. But you can't do wrong and get by. I can't do wrong and get by. Amen. Chapter 13, he says, prophesy against the prophets. Well, boy, boy, boy. What kind of deal is this when one of the prophets is prophesying against the prophets? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, prophesy against the prophets. Maybe I should turn over and read it to you. I don't know. I'll bore you with details. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Ezekiel said, Hear the word of the Lord. And all those other prophets are saying, Hear the word of the Lord. But Ezekiel's got a harder face. Amen. He's got a face like an adamant stone. Amen. Hallelujah. And his face, amen, is a little bit harder than theirs. Thus saith the Lord, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Amen. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, nor made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. God needs some prophets that'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge and raise up the standard. Amen. And so he said, Ezekiel, prophesy against the prophets. Now get a load of this. Verse 17. Amen. Likewise, son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people. Amen. Set thy face against the daughters of thy people. Let's go a little farther. Which prophesy. That's the prophetesses. Amen. There are prophets, but the female gender of prophet is prophetess. Amen. And here Ezekiel sets his face against the prophetesses. Amen. We got a bunch of them today. Yay, yay this, and yay, yay that, and yay, yay something else. Amen. But you know what they're prophesying? They're prophesying out of their own heart. Amen. That old gal came to my church in Barberville, Kentucky, years ago. Amen. I'd been preaching righteousness and holiness and was putting the church back on the map for God, and God did put the church back on the map for God and restore the church to favor. Amen. Under my ministry there in 4 years and a half. Hallelujah. It took them a long time to undo all the good that I did at Barberville, Kentucky. Amen. She came into church, me trying to preach holiness, and stood up and prophesied. Yay, yay, yay. Long hair must go, she said, and pride. Amen. Well, hers did. Her long hair went. As a matter of fact, it had already went. Did you know that there are a class of people that think because you obey God as a dear sister in the church and let your hair grow, that you got pride? And they think that it is a humbling thing somehow or other, amen, to cut all your hair off and get you a pair of devil stirrups or two or three sets of holes on both sides of your ears, amen, and you somehow or other are trying to fit in and be humble. Baloney. Hogwash. Balderdash. Amen. Hallelujah. Yay, yay, yay. Long hair must go. She was the one that went. Amen. Hallelujah. And the church goes on. Amen. The church went on for God. Hallelujah. Set thy face against the daughters of thy people which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. Now, boy, I tell you, you're going to have a pretty hard face to drown out a bunch of prophesying women. Amen. I mean, here, praise God, that bunch of daughters is prophesying, and God said, Ezekiel, you go down there and prophesy. He's outnumbered to start with. Amen. But the long run will show whose side God is on. Amen. Glory to God. Prophesy against those women. Amen. Thus saith the Lord God, those women that sew pillows to the armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature, hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people? And will you save the souls alive that come unto me, you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should die and save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Do you know that there's people that'll prophesy about anything to get a little more money, to keep their kitty filled and keep their TV program going and keep their movement alive? I mean, they'll about make any compromise, and there's a lot of people that'll be glad to listen to it. Amen. Hallelujah. For a handful of barley, piece of bread, to slay the souls that should not die. Amen. You see, the false prophet and the false prophetess is always against good people. They preach love with high-sounding phrases and oratory, and they love everybody except holiness folks. They love everybody except holiness preachers. They call us legalists. They call us, amen, slave drivers and keeping folks in bondage. Amen. Well, glory to God, I told you the other night, amen, that the legalist calls me a liberal, and the liberals call me a legalist, and I like it right in the middle of the road there. Amen. I'm against both legalists and liberals. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Amen. And I'm glad to make war against both sides. Amen. I'm glad to catch it from both directions, even if necessary, to be a martyr for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Amen. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against your pillows, wherewith ye hunt souls to make them fly. I'll tear them from your arms. I'll let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. There's a scripture in the New Testament says that they lure through the lust of the flesh. Did you ever read that in the New Testament? Amen. They lure through the lust of the flesh. You know how the idolatrous priests and temples, amen, got adherents and followers and membership? They lured through the lust of the flesh. Amen. Read the history of it. They lured through the lust of the flesh. Amen. They had temple harlots and prostitutes of both sexes. Amen. And every ungodly way to lure people to the fold. Amen. God said, prophesy against them. Set your face against them, against the prophets, against the prophetesses. Amen. He said, set your face against Tyrus. Amen. Set your face against Babylon. Ezekiel, set your face against Pharaoh. Set your face against Gog and Magog. I mean, amen, thousands of years before that last great battle ever took place, Ezekiel set his case-hardened face against Gog and Magog, and you can write it down in your little black book that Gog and Magog is going to be destroyed in the Valley of Armageddon, because Ezekiel set his face against them. Amen. What happens? Amen. And God sets his face against man. Amen. What happens? Praise God. When God turns against a man, let me tell you in closing tonight, the word of the Lord came unto me again saying this, that same chapter that said, I'll set my face against that man, make him a sign, a proverb, cut him off amidst my people. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. Word of the Lord came to me again saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me to trespass grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it and break the staff of bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. When God turns against a man, God turns against a land, no amount of praying and intercession will do him any good. Noah couldn't do it. Daniel couldn't do it. Noah, who saved, amen, seed for future generations, found favor in the eyes of God, floated above the flood, in this case, would only be able to save his own soul. Daniel, who lured angels from heaven, got messages from holy ones, talked with Gabriel and Michael. Amen. Even Daniel couldn't help him when the Lord turns against him. Amen. I'll tell you something tonight. I wish it was different, but we're not going to save everybody. I wish it was different, but you, by your righteousness and your prayers, you're not going to save all your loved ones. They're going to have to want to be saved. Huh? We can pray through and furnish the catalyst. We can pray through and furnish the revival. We can pray through and have a move of God. But even God himself won't force you to live for God. You got to make up your own mind. You got to choose this day whom you will serve. Amen. Let me go farther. If you choose not to serve God, there's not enough godly people in this world, by their fasting and prayers, can make you serve God. Amen. You gotta make up your own mind. Oh, it's nobody's record but mine, Lord. It's nobody's record but mine. In the last analysis, you'll stand on your own two feet in the judgment. You won't be able to say, the devil made me do it, or the preacher made me do it, or my wife made me do it, or my children made me do it. Amen. You won't be able to blame nobody but yourself if you go to hell. Amen. I'm about done. If I bring a sword upon the land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, They shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. But I'd like to say that Noah and Daniel and Job will be delivered. Amen. Would you like to be one of them? Would you like to fall into that category? Everybody, praise God, will deliver their own soul by their righteousness. You need a made up mind tonight. It may be ever so feeble, your commitment to God, your decision for Christ. Amen. But you got to make a start. You got to make up your mind. Amen. You got to make up your mind that no matter what anybody else does, I'm going to heaven. Amen. There wasn't one young person saved in the gang that I ran with back in the hills, Arkansas. Not one. Not one. Amen. I was the first one of the whole bunch to get saved. God called me out. And he said in a voice that nobody heard but my heart, amen, this is your night. If you don't get saved tonight, you'll never get saved. And shaking on the inside and knowing what all my peers would say, and sure enough, they did. Amen. How they'd make fun of me, and sure enough, they did. Amen. That night, David Ray, I stepped out. Amen. It seemed like my legs was wood as I put one foot in front of the other. I looked back to see who was watching as I walked to the altar, but I made my journey. I broke the ice. Hallelujah. Amen. Before it was all over, my brother and my sister and my uncle and all my friends, until 23 of us that I run with, we went to school together. Amen. To Sunday school together when they had it in the old country church. Amen. But we didn't live for God. But I broke the ice that night. I was the first one, hallelujah, to step out among my peers. And I'd like to say, it's been stormy sometimes. And sometimes I haven't done too good. But I'm still living for God. I'm still holding on to God. Amen. I'm glad to say tonight, amen, that a lot of them might have gone back. And sometimes I didn't do too good in those days myself. But God brought me out. My heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown. And lo, in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. Amen. Tonight, if you find yourself distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown, or my dread frown, or my screeching voice, when this lisping, stammering tongue falls silent, and you stand before God on your own two feet, it'll be nobody's decision but yours. Nobody's record but yours. Nobody's eternity but yours. You need to make up your mind and do it tonight. I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to go God's way lest God go against me. Amen. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, bless this message, these broken remarks. Challenge our hearts, O Lord God, in this day of the Lord, this day that the Lord hath made. Hallelujah. This second of March.